If you found Revelations chapter number 3, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. And dads, we appreciate you and thank you all very much for being here today. We're going to begin reading in verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I know some folks, when they come for holidays, they want to hear that particular holiday message, but I'll preach this morning what God has laid on my heart and what God has given me. Amen. And it's pertinent to every holiday. It's pertinent to every season when God gives it. Amen. But I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, the RX for an eye problem. Amen. The RX for an eye problem, the prescription for an eye problem. I'm not talking about these eyes. I'm talking about the eye problem. Amen. And that's the problem that the church had right here, the Laodicean church. As you read through the Bible, you read through chapter 3 here, as God is dealing with the churches, and he's dealing with 2 and 3, dealing with the churches. And in chapter number 3, verses 14 to 22, he's dealing with the Laodicean church. And the Laodicean church is a picture of the last church age. I believe it's the church age in which we live in today. It's the church age in which we worship in and we try to function in this world in. And we're so thankful that God has given us a snapshot and a picture of what our church is today. And it has a big problem. It's got an eye problem. Amen? It's got an eye problem that has a remedy and has a cure, but we need to understand that eye problem. How we see in America today that the church has been relegated to a fourth or fifth place setting, a ranking, it seems like, in the world. We want to take anything that deals with God, anything that pertains to the church, out of our lives so that we don't have to be bothered with it. And it's understandable that man wants to do that, because the things of God bring a definite problem. They shine a great light on the big eye problem that we have in our lives and in America, in our homes and in our churches and in our personal lives. How we see that in places where the Word of God is being pushed out, that violence and sin is running rampant. We see a drug problem that's run rampant across America. We no longer want to call it sin. We call it a disease. It's not a disease. It's a problem. Amen. It's a problem of choice. It's a problem of people's own doing and their own making. How we see the problem with alcoholism. It's not considered a problem anymore. It's not considered an addiction anymore. It's called a medical need. It's a medical issue, and it's not a medical issue. It's an issue of choice because of an eye problem. We're pushing God out, and Satan's pushing sin in. Amen? It's where you can't even put something in your churchyard for kids, and folks don't come by and steal it. Amen? The time I was young, even to this day, I would never think about stealing something from a church. Amen? I would never think about stealing something from a church. They came a few years ago and stole our air conditioners. We had other churches in the area. One church, they stole 5 air conditioning units from. It was running rampant. We had to put cages around our air conditioners to keep them from stealing the air conditioners. Brother L's house. He had a house up next to his business there in Glasgow, and somebody come to him one day and said, "Oh, what are they doing over at the house? What kind of work you haven't done over there?" He said, "I'm not having anything done." And he said, "You better get over there then." He said, "I seen a fellow walking out of there with a whole bunch of copper. I thought you had a plumbing problem. I was having plumbing work done." And Brother L run over. It was a rental house he had that was sitting vacant. And when he got over there, they had done went in and ripped all the copper pipes out of the house. They didn't even have the decency to shut the water off. Amen. They just went in and just took a saw and went through real quick and cut all the copper pipes, and him just right next door. And sin is running rampant. Praise God, there are places where they're seeing the results of what happens when you put God back in where he's been pushed out of. We were sharing in Sunday school this morning. Brother Josue Andrade called me this week. We was talking to him, and he asked us to pray about elections in Honduras and some things that are being brought before the legislature this week. And I want you to pray about this. The president of the Honduras, if for those that don't know Brother Josue is a Honduran American. He's got dual citizenship, and he was... Brother David Perryman many years ago as a young man in Honduras. He had nothing, he boasted nothing, claims nothing, he still don't, but he was preaching in villages throughout the Honduras and starting little churches in places where nobody had ever been and nobody had ever went to, and God was working mightily in the Honduras. And then Josue was able to get into schools, and they let him in elementary schools and in the high schools, and he began to preach into schools, and the places where he would go and the places where he would preach started experiencing changes. Families began drawn to God. Families began seeing what a difference the Word of God made in lives. And television stations began to hear about Brother Josue, and some Christian people that had influence got him on television, and he began to preach nationally. He's still planting churches in mountains. And you ask Brother Chris Karshner, you want to talk to where he goes sometimes, the places that he goes to. You got to ride dirt bikes up the mountains. And Brother Chris said he was terrified trying to keep up with him. You ride mules, you walk. There's places where automobiles and cars can't go. And Brother Josue will go and plant churches there. He'll preach on TV there. He preaches on the radio there. He caught the attention of the president of the Honduras. Amen. This week, the president of Honduras is introducing legislation. It's a law that will make it mandatory that all Honduran school children receive at least 1 hour of preaching and Bible teaching per day in their classrooms across the Honduras. You see, God is still making a difference where he's allowed in. But we see the Bible shows us so many pictures of what has happened where God has been pushed out because of the eye problem. You see, the church today has got complacent. And I'm talking about the church in general. Has got to the place where they've grown cold and lukewarm. And people only want to go to churches that tell them how great they are and how good they are and how sweet they are and how blessed they are. And if you... folks will tell them what they want to hear. You can pack a church house out. But the reality of it is we don't need to hear what we want to hear. See, an eye problem says, I want to hear how good I am. I want to hear how precious I am. I want to hear how special I am. And praise God, you were special enough that Jesus sent, came. God sent his son Jesus to die on an old rugged cross for your sins. Amen. And he died that you might have life. That's how special you were. But if you think you're any more than that, you're nothing but a sinner saved by grace. Amen. That's who I am. I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner that deserves to be in hell. My back broke, but I've been saved by grace. That's who I am. Amen. But we've got an eye problem in America today. We've got an eye problem in our churches today. And we think that we can do whatever we want to and everything's going to be fine. We can live how we want to. We can accept God's word how we want to. We can do what we want to because it's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about my will. James says over in James that in the book of James that we have a problem. We say we're going to do things, but we never include God in our plans. Amen. We say we're going to go here and we're going to go there, but we don't say if the Lord will. We don't let God have control. We want to be in control. We don't want to surrender. And that's what the big eye problem is our pride keeps us from surrendering. In verse 17 of our text this morning, God says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods, and and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Amen. Now, you see, the church today, he didn't write this to the world. He wrote it to the church. Amen. The church today has an eye problem. Amen. And he's got a prescription for the eye problem. You know, when you're dealing with a disease, before you can find a cure and before you can deal with it, you got to go back to the beginning. You got to find out where the disease comes from. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles into Isaiah chapter number 14, I can show you where the eye problem began. I can show you where this eye disease originated and what caused it to flourish the way that it has. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, the Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," listen, look where the eye problem first shows up. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell." In Ezekiel chapter number 28, verses 14 to 17, God says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." In eternity past, we see the disease of eye began. We see the eye problem manifested itself. Lucifer, the anointed cherub, a creation of God, tried to exalt himself above God. He wanted to exalt himself to the place where God was. He said, "I will set my throne where God's throne is. I will be like God. I will do this and I will do that." And it was all about what I was going to do instead of realizing who he was and what he was and what his purpose was. He decided that he was going to be like God. And let me tell you what, I'm thankful that we have the privilege to be called the sons of God if we know Christ Jesus as our Savior. But we are not God. Amen. We need to realize that we are still God's creation. We are still God's handiwork. We are still what God intended for us to be. And until we come to the realization that we are his creation and we were created for his purpose and we were created to do what he wants us to do. And that, what is that? That's to worship him, to obey him, to follow him, to fellowship with him, to be everything that we can be, that we might worship and uplift and glorify him in all our being. Until we come to that place, we'll never get rid of the eye problem. You see, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, wasn't always what we picture him as. He was the anointed cherub. "Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created." In eternity past, a great plague began. A disease that would infect the world erupted onto the scene because one of God's creation said, "I will be like God. I will be a God." Do you realize that when we say we have need of nothing, we have no need of God? We have no need to obey the Word of God. We have no need to follow him. We have no need to do any of these things that his Word says. We exalt ourselves to the place where we become God. We don't answer to any authority but ourselves. We don't answer to anyone but ourselves. We don't have need of anything. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord every day. Amen. I need the Lord every moment. Some things, it's the Lord that keeps me from smacking somebody right in the mouth. Amen. Sometimes I want to. Sometimes it's just the Lord that keeps me from saying things I shouldn't say. I'm just being honest with you. You know why? Because I still have an eye problem. Amen. I inherited an eye problem. See, that's the problem with disease. It runs rampant, and it begins to affect, you know, we got swine flu, the chicken flu, the Spanish flu, the Asian flu. We got this flu and that flu. There's flus running all over. There's all kinds of disease running rampant. Amen. It runs all over the place. You go to the doctor, and they give you a form to fill out, and they got two or three pages of, have you ever had any of this? Amen. Have you ever had any of this? Chances are there's something on there that you've had. Amen. There's something on there that maybe you have. Amen. There's something on there that maybe you're struggling with and you're dealing with. But it's on there. Amen. Sin is just the same way. Amen. The sin, the eye problem of sin is just the same way. There's something in there that you're dealing with. I'm just honest enough to tell you mine. Amen. Sometimes my temper gets about that long. Amen. Sometimes my tolerance is about that much. Sometimes I'm not always the sweet and amiable guy that you know. Amen. Sometimes I get mean. Sometimes I'm not really nice. I'm just being, you know why? Because I got an eye problem. Amen. And when I want to do things my own way, and I want to exalt my own frame of mind. I want to do things the way that I want to do it. I'm denying God's authority. Because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, we can try to ignore and we can try to deny our problems. If you got a heart problem and you deny you got a heart problem, eventually you're going to have a very serious problem. Amen. Most likely it's going to kill you. You get sugar diabetes and you deny that you got sugar diabetes and you don't do anything about your sugar diabetes, and eventually it's going to kill you. It's going to take you away. That's the way diseases work. Amen? And that's the way sin's disease works. That's the way the eye disease works. If we deny it, then we fail to realize that it's real and it's in the world. It'll destroy us. It'll tear us down. See, the spread of the eye problem started in heaven. The Bible tells us over in Revelation chapter 12, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. And this is a picture of Satan. This is a picture of the devil himself. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and then cast them to the earth as the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered. This is a picture of Satan. This is a picture of the power of the eye problem. You see, when Satan fell, when Satan transgressed against God, when Satan exalted himself and he said, I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to be all this. It's all about me. It's no longer about God. And God has no more time and place. When Satan did all this stuff, the anointed cherub that covereth, the created being who is perfect in all his ways, when the eye problem took a hold of him and he began to sin, the Bible says he drew a third part of the angels of heaven with him. One third of the angels in heaven immediately contacted and contracted the eye problem. And they followed Satan. But it wasn't enough that it could be contained. You know, they put up quarantines. Years ago, if you went to the doctor and you had a cough and you kept coughing and you went to the doctor and you was diagnosed with tuberculosis, the doctor said, stay right here for a moment. And the doctor went into another room and he called an asylum. And they came and they picked you up right then. and they took you to the asylum. You weren't allowed to go back home. You weren't allowed to go back out into society because you had a disease that there was no cure for, and that was highly contagious. So what did they do? They quarantined you. You sat in that little room and you wondered what the doctor was doing. Well, he was making a phone call, and pretty soon here come two fellows in white jackets, and they had an ambulance or a vehicle out back, and they said, please come with us. And you could resist if you wanted to, but then they would take you by force. And they would quarantine you. That they would separate you. But see, sin wasn't allowed to be quarantined. Sin wasn't held in place in heaven because the devil himself knew that he was already defeated, and he knew that if he was infected, that he wasn't going to go down alone. He was going to take others with him. You remember reading a few years ago about a nurse who had HIV, and he was going around and he was injecting people with HIV. He wasn't satisfied that he had contracted this disease by his self and his own. He wanted to give it to others, and he wanted others to suffer along with him. The devil's not content just to deal with the sin and just to deal with his rebellion, just to deal with his eye problem, his self. He wants others to have to suffer with him. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, so that they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Amen. We see that as sin began to propagate, as the eye problem began to multiply, it not only affected heaven, but now it's affected earth. How does it work? The lust of the eye. Amen. They begin looking on things they shouldn't have looked on. They begin to desire things that didn't belong to them. And now it's spread from heaven, it's spread to earth. No doubt when the devil was telling her she could be like God, Eve was thinking to herself, man, I can be just like God. I can be just like God. You know, that's what we do every time we reject God's word, every time we reject him. Well, I can be just like God. I can make my own decisions. I have no need of anything. I've got all I need. Everything I've got, I've got. You don't have anything that you've got on your own. Everything you got because the Lord's allowed you to have it. Amen. Amen. You don't have the job you have because you were so much smarter, so much better than anybody else. You don't have the home you got because you're so much better than anybody else. You got what you got because God has allowed you to have it. Amen. You don't have the strength and the health you got because you're better than somebody else and your life is better than anybody else's. You have what you have because God has allowed you to have it. But you still have something that everybody else has. You got an eye problem. It's more commonly called sin, but if you look right in the middle of sin, there's eye. Amen? But there's an eye problem. I have everything that I need. I'm everything that needs to go on. Eve looked and she seen, I can be like God. I can know all these things that God knows. I will be able because the devil told me so. That's what the world is telling our young people today. You can be your own man. You can be your own woman. You need to be your own person. You need to quit listening to this and you need to quit listening to that. Let me tell you something. It never comes a time in your life when you need to quit listening to God. Amen. Amen. You might not want to listen to me, but you better listen to God. Amen. You might not want to listen to your mom and dad, but you better listen to God. Amen. Because when you quit listening to him, you set yourself up for failure. you said, you know, as parents, we try to teach our dads, we try to teach our kids how to succeed in life. Is there any dad here that tries to teach your child how to be a failure? I didn't think so. We all want to see our children succeed. We all want to see them get along better. Adam and Eve, they set their children up for failure. Why? Because they let themselves get diseased by the eye problem. They let themselves be sucked into some place that they were free from. Just like the anointed cherub who was perfect in his creation. Adam and Eve were perfect in their creation. Do you realize that? God made a perfect man. God made a perfect woman. You guys always looking for a perfect woman? The only perfect woman you ever find is right there in Genesis chapter number 1, 2, 3. Amen? Woman, you're looking for a perfect man? The only one you're ever going to find is right there in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Because God made a perfect man. He made a perfect woman. He put them in a perfect environment and gave them everything that they needed perfectly. But they let down their guard. How many bottles of Purell do we have in here? I bet Bethany's got a suitcase full. Don't you? Amen. My granddaughter, we was helping them move the other night. They got their house. We was helping them move some stuff over there. I was sitting on the couch and had my leg crossed, and her little boy come up, and he wasn't paying attention. He kind of run into my shoe. Oh, my God. He run into Pop's shoe. Quick. Anybody got a disinfectant wipe? I got to wipe his face. Leave the boy alone. She's trying to protect him. We're trying to safeguard ourselves, but when you let your guard down, what happens? You get sick. Let your guard down. You know, I stand back here and shake hands, and I try to safeguard myself, but sometimes can't you? I watch people come. This is you all now. I'm talking. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I see y'all come down. Hey, Pastor. Enjoyed service today. So now I'm standing here, you know. I'm not lying. Am I lying? I'm not lying. So I try to safeguard. And they say, why is the pastor always sick? Because of you. Amen. But you try to safeguard yourself. So somebody else comes along and wants to shake my hand, and I try not to shake hand. Maybe I'll roll my fist up. Oh, you sick? Well, no, but I don't want to tell you the last person that shook my hand just, you know, left something in there that I wasn't expecting. I didn't want to pass on. We try to safeguard ourselves. But when we let down our guard, the devil slips right in. And before you know it, we're affected with an eye problem. We're affected with an eye problem that begins to carry on. By the time you get just a couple chapters over in Genesis, in chapter number 6, we read the words that God has looked upon the world, and he saw the wickedness of man, and every imagination of his heart was evil continually. We see that sin has begun to manifest itself, and the eye problem has begun to grow in him, and now everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, and everybody's doing what they feel is best, and everybody's doing what they think, and everybody's doing what they believe, and they're starting to worship this way, they're starting to worship that way, they're starting to worship however they feel like it, and pretty soon the God is no longer in the picture because it's all about me. You can hardly read a story about any character in the Word of God where you don't find it, the individual was affected with the eye problem. Amen. Abraham. Remember Abraham and Sarah? God made him a promise. But they couldn't wait on God. Why? They had an eye problem. Things had to happen in their time. Things had to happen their way. Things had to happen according to their knowledge. Pretty soon you see what happens, and now we've got a whole other problem that has been caused because of an eye problem. Remember King Saul? God chose Saul to be the king. Saul was a humble man. It says when he started out. But then Saul got affected with the eye problem. And pretty soon he wasn't willing to wait on God. He wasn't willing to wait on the man of God. He started doing everything himself. He decided that he's going to do it this way and he's going to do it that way. He's going to offer a sacrifice that was not his place. It was the man of God's place to do. And then God sent him to do something and he didn't do it God's way. He done it his own way. Why? Because because I brought him back. Ain't what God told you to do. God told you to destroy everything. God told you to totally annihilate them, to annihilate everything they had. He didn't even want their sheep and goats. Yeah, but I brought it back for a sacrifice. He got infected with the eye problem. He was no longer fit for what God wanted him to do. David, we can see David got infected with an eye problem. We see Peter had an eye problem. Jesus said, I'm going to go lay down my life and they're going to take my life. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be lifted up. Peter said, I'm not going to let you do it. You see, even in the church, even against those that are closest to the Lord, there's an eye problem. Paul said, I have a big eye problem. He said, the things I know that I should do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I wind up doing. But the things I know that I need to do and I should be doing, I don't do because I'm doing the things I shouldn't do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. You see, we need to realize we got an eye problem. We got to realize that the eye problem has spread. The eye problem's contagious. The eye problem destroys. Felix had an eye problem. He said, sounds pretty good, Paul, but I'll hear from you in another time. In a more convenient season, I'll wait. They never called Paul back. The Bible never records that he got his eye problem out of the way and submitted himself to the Lord. Agrippa had an eye problem. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, but I just can't let go. I just can't give it up. I just can't quit. You see, the eye problem prevails. The eye problem's real. The eye problem has never quit growing. The eye problem's still in this world today. The eye problem is right here in Charlestown. I've got an eye problem. You've got an eye problem. Whether you want to admit it or not, whether you know it or not, you got an eye problem. A problem that needs to be dealt with. A problem that needs the prescription that God has given for it. Look at what he says here in our text. He says here in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Well, for those that's not grasping what God's saying here, he said all the things that you have one day are going to perish. He said, but I can offer you riches that's already been tried. I can offer you riches that are greater than the riches of this world. Gold that's been tried in the fire. You know why it's tried in the fire? All the impurities have been taken out of it. Everything in this world is impure. Even the most pure gold that you can find in this world is still not 100% pure. You ever see 100% pure gold? You see 99.999% pure gold because they can't purify it. But look at what's in heaven. Gold so pure that it's clear as glass. And what is it in heaven? It's paving material. Amen? You see, the things of this world are all affected and are all contaminated by sin. They're all going to destroy one day. But the things of God will endure. Buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed. You know, we all have something that we're proud of. Proud of face. We're proud of race. Amen. Christians, we even get proud of grace. Amen. We all got something that we get proud of. But God says we need to put our pride aside. Humble ourselves. Yield ourselves unto Him and unto His will. And He can help us with our eye problem. There's a cure. There's a cure. But we got to get our pride out of the way. We got to get ourselves out of the way, that we might be clothed with those garments of humility, that raiment that only He can provide. We got to get our eyes open to see the truth. He says that your eyes have, that thou mayest see. You know, most people don't really see their situation because they've never been told that there's such a thing as an eye problem. Most people don't realize where they're at because they've never been made to realize just who you are. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have that eye problem, but we all have the promise of a remedy, of a cure. For God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God, aren't you glad He loved us enough to send His Son to die for us? Aren't you glad that He loved us enough that He provided a remedy for the eye problem that we have? He says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And listen, if any man hear my voice and open the door, choices to be made, if any man hear my voice, if you'll listen, you'll hear Him. And open the door and yield unto Him. He said, I will come in to Him and will sup with Him and He with me. Proverbs 9:23 says, and pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble. Isaiah 57:15, the Lord says, for thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Revelations 3:20 says, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. God says, I got a remedy. I got a remedy. And the only remedy for the eye problem is me. The only remedy for the eye problem is believing, is hearing who I am and believing that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Man, somebody's knocking at the door, you don't just open the door to anybody. You want to know who's out there. Amen. You want to know who's knocking on your door. Jesus is knocking. He's got the cure. He's got the remedy for the eye problem. Romans 10:9-13 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. I counsel thee. I implore you. I encourage you to come to me. I encourage you to get what I have. He said, because what I have is free. He said, you can buy it without money. That's what he told him in Isaiah. He said, because I'll give it to you. It's called grace. I'll give it to you. It's called mercy. I'll give it to you. It's called love. I'll give it to you because I know you need it. But you just have to acknowledge and you just have to receive it. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior, He wants to get you past your eye problem and get you into a relationship with Him. Church, if you're here this morning, you've got an eye problem too. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. You got an eye problem. All of us have an eye problem. But praise God, He's got the cure. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You see, the problem with I is that we think everything's all right. The problem with I is we think we're totally self-sufficient. The problem with I is we think we have no need for God when He's the greatest need that we have. All of us have an eye problem. Different magnitudes, different degrees, different ways. But the remedy and the cure for the eye problem is the same for all of us. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Some call Him the great physician. Some say He's the great healer. But He's a great Savior. He's a great God.